Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods. In today's episode, using mobile technology to collect information for a household survey. Our guest is Professor Annette Yekle from the Institute for Social and Economic Research at the University of Essex, who's been carrying out an experiment which invites survey participants to use an app on their mobile phone or tablet to provide information on household spending.
You might know that since about the middle of the 20th century, we've relied on sample surveys where we use questionnaires and then we go out and ask people lots of questions about their lives and their circumstances. But now, of course, these mobile devices, smartphones in particular, have a lot of inbuilt technical features that we can use to collect new and different types of data. So instead of asking people questions, we can exploit these features. So to give you some examples, one that we'll be talking about is cameras. So we could ask people to take pictures of the food that they're eating or of their surroundings, or in our study, we ask people to take pictures of their shopping receipts. Smartphones have inbuilt GPS that can be used to track their locations, and they have inbuilt accelerometers that can be used to track their movement and measure how physically active they are. So these are some examples of the technical features that can be used to collect information about individuals without asking them questions. So in some cases, we can collect data that you can't really collect by asking questions because people don't necessarily know the answers. So we can collect new data. In some cases, we can collect data where we could ask people questions, but we probably can't ask about the same level of detail. So it might allow us to collect more detailed information. In some cases, these technical features allow us to collect data that are better quality. And that's what we were after in our study. So where we're trying to collect an objective measure of, in this case, spending. And so we're not relying on people to remember, and instead we're asking them to take pictures of their shopping receipts so that we have an objective source of information.
A fantastic range of new and exciting opportunities using these devices, but I imagine with those opportunities also come quite a number of challenges. I wonder if you can talk us through those.
Yes. So in my view, there are two key challenges. One is, will members of the public be willing to do these kind of things?
Of course.
And then the second is, are the data that we can get any good? Can we use these data to make statistical inference about the population that we want to know something about? And there are two key aspects to quality of data. One is representation. So do the data we collect really reflect the population that we're trying to say something about? So in this case, you know, are people who are willing to do something on their smartphone, are they representative of the broader population? And the second is the measurement. So are the measures that we're getting good measures of the concepts that we're interested in? So I think the key challenges are how to implement these technologies, how to use them in the context, say, of a survey to collect data about a population. And then the second key challenge is to rigorously assess the quality of the data that we can get.
Now, you've been carrying out an experiment using a mobile app to try to get people to use it to provide information, as you said, about their household spending. What were you specifically sort of trying to find out there then?
So this was a study we carried out in collaboration with Kantar World Panel, and they helped us design an app where we asked people to report their spending for a month. And I should say this is part of a much broader project. I think we'll talk about that a bit at the end. So the broader project is about improving measurement of household finances more generally. So household finances, that's income, spending, and changes in assets and debts. And we were trying to find ways of collecting this whole budget within a survey. Now you can imagine that to do that in detail would take a lot of time, would involve many, many questions. And so what we've been experimenting with is collecting everything, but for some areas, so expenditure, for example, we've only asked very broad questions. How much did you spend in total of the last month, for example? And so we were then looking for ways in which we could collect the details, but without asking people questions. That's where this app study came in. So we thought, well, we could ask people to use an app, and this is what we did, to tell us about their spending over a month. And they could do three things. They could, each time they bought something, take a picture of their receipt. So it involved entering, opening the app, clicking, I want to scan a receipt, and then they would literally take a picture and it would automatically be uploaded and then be coded. Or if they didn't have a receipt, then they could enter the amount and tell us the category of spending, or they could also tell us that they didn't spend any money that day.
So who were these people? Who was involved in your experiment?
We implemented this study on the innovation panel, and that panel is part of the UK Household Longitudinal Study. So the innovation panel is a smaller survey, a household panel survey that we started in 2008, and where we've been interviewing all adults in sampled households every year. So 2016 was wave 9, and we finished field work on the annual interviews in September, and then at the end of October, we invited people to take part in this study. The purpose of the innovation panel is precisely for methodological development and testing, and things that we can't do on the main study.
And things that you might learn from that then get used, if appropriate, on the bigger study.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what exactly were the people asked to do?
So we asked people to use their own smartphones or tablet to download an app, and then, as I said before, to do one of three things for a month. So to scan each shopping receipt, to tell us about their purchases if they didn't have a receipt, or to say that they hadn't spent any money that day. And the reason we asked people to tell us if they hadn't spent any money is that we had incentives. We offered people incentives for taking part, and they had a small incentive for every day in which they participated.
So did people agree to take part and then go on to use the app in the way that they were invited to do so? Because this in itself is a challenge, right?
Yes. So in the end, we, like I said, invited all members of the innovation panel to take part using their own devices. 13% then actually used the app, and 10% used it for the full month. Now, the 13%, that's lower than we might like, but it's comparable to what other people are finding in similar studies where they're trying to get people to allow them to collect data through ways that don't involve questionnaires. And also, we have to remember that we asked everybody, and not everybody in our sample actually had a smartphone
or
tablet. And of course, if we rolled this out into the main study, we would have the option of purchasing devices and loaning them out to people.
Okay, so you wanted to establish the sorts of things also that might prevent someone from taking part in a survey like this. Like you're saying, people might not have a device of their own. So what did you find there, and what factors were important?
One of our key aims is to evaluate the quality of the data that we get. And I mentioned representation and measurement. And in the study that we're talking about today, we're really focusing on the representation, who takes part, who doesn't. And we planned this quite carefully. We used the previous interview in the innovation panel to collect information about potential barriers. So we thought quite hard about reasons why people would or would not participate, possibly. So we asked them, for example, whether they had access to these mobile technologies. Did they have a device? We asked them about their ability to use their devices. What kind of things were they already doing? And what was their self-rated skill and confidence using their devices for different things? And then we also asked them about hypothetical willingness. So we asked them about a whole range of things and how willing they would be to do those on their smartphone or tablet. That was one of the barriers that we thought of. The other thing, we expected that people who are more interested in actively monitoring their finances and managing their finances would be more interested in participating in this type of study. And so we also asked a range of questions about people's financial behaviours.
So you did a lot of the legwork, a lot of the groundwork in advance of actually starting the experiment. So what sorts of people in the innovation panel were most likely to take part and use the app for the full month in the way you wanted them to?
We found some differences in social demographic characteristics between participants. So women were more likely to participate, the younger age groups, and also those with higher education. People who use their devices very frequently, well, every day, especially, they were more likely to participate. And that explained actually the age and education differences. I think the surprise was that we found that it was the willingness to download an app for a study that was really a key barrier. Mm. We'd also asked whether they would be willing to use their camera on their device to take pictures for a study. And that was the one that I thought was most closely related to what we're asking people to do. But actually, when we then model who participates and who doesn't, that one's not predictive. It's the downloading the app that seems to be a, a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so the social demographics, the behaviours, and then the third thing was the financial behaviours. And there we found some really strong results indeed that people who already use do similar things. So people who keep a budget on a computer, people who use an app to check their bank balance, they were much more likely to participate. So we found clear differences there. The third point, though, the third aspect where we surprisingly haven't found any differences is, of course, the app is designed to measure spending. So that's, if you like, the outcome we're trying to measure. I've looked in the survey data at things that I think would be highly correlated with spending. So I have personal income, I have a subjective assessment of how well they're getting on financially, how are they getting by. At the household level, I have some expenditure information and whether the household is late or struggling with making payments. And surprisingly, I don't see any differences there between participants and non-participants, which suggests that there's no bias in what we're measuring between participants and non-participants. So that's a really positive finding.
So the main focus of the work was the use of the app itself, but I wonder if you were able to look at the financial information that people provided to sort of check the quality of that information in the way that you told us about at the beginning of the interview, and how useful it might be for a researcher who would want to use that data in the future to look at a host of different important questions.
That's something we're working on at the moment. So we're looking both at process quality. So how well are people complying with the request? And actually, one thing I forgot to mention that was another very positive result was we expected a lot of dropout over the month. So we thought people would start and then they would, you know, lose interest. But actually, most people who participated for the full month. That was a big surprise and very positive finding. Anyway, so we're doing more work on looking at how people are complying. And then the next step is to look at the output quality. So if we calculate a measure of individual or household spending, how good is that compared to, you know, benchmark data? That's work that's still in progress.
What are the key things to emerge when it comes to the use of mobile technology in research of this nature?
So this is all emerging new research. Mm. And as I said, there are a few studies now asking people to collect data through other ways than questionnaires,
yes.
But there's still very few. I think generally it's promising. And our study and other studies too, we need to find ways of increasing participation. I think the key thing is to understand the user perspective. So it seems so clear, you know, that people's experience with doing similar things already, that really affects whether or not they're going to participate. So some related work that we've been doing is using the questions where we ask people, what would you hypothetically be willing to do, right, to examine differences. And there are very clear differences. If you think about the different features of a smartphone, people are much more willing to do some things than others. And surprisingly, there are some things which would be passively measured. So if we ask people to track their GPS location, the participant would have to download an app, they'd have to keep their location services on, but then they wouldn't have to do anything else.
So yeah.
It'd be very easy for them, right? Mm. Much easier than keeping a travel diary. But actually, we're finding in our study and in other studies in other countries that are replicating, doing similar analysis, that people really want control of what's being measured. And it seems as though even if the passive task would be much easier for them, they're less willing to do things where they have less control.
It's like the thought of something going on in the background they're not in control
exactly.
of.
Exactly. So one of the things we've asked about is, would they be willing to install an app that tracks how they're using their device? Mm. So for us, we thought, could we objectively measure what kind of things they're doing so that we can get an objective measure of their skills, you know, rather than asking people to self-report, which is always subject to some error. So I think understanding the perspective of the participant and how they engage with the task, I think, is key going forward.
Absolutely. And just finally, this work is part of a much wider NCRM research project. What else are you going to be doing going forward?
Okay, so I've mentioned various other things that we've been doing. So we're still working on assessing the quality. We've been working on analysing the different willingness people express for different types of tasks and what predicts that. We've also been doing some work on the burden that people experienced in participating and how that changed over the month. We've now got some follow-up funding from the National Center for Research Methods to continue this study. And so we're planning a second version where we want to test ways of increasing participation. And then we've also, I think I said initially, been experimenting with ways of improving the quality of income data and collecting information about the whole budget within the questionnaire.
Annette Yekley was talking to Christine Garrington about her NCRM-funded research using the Innovation Panel on the UK Household Longitudinal Study to experiment with the use of mobile technology to collect data on household finances. More information is available on the NCRM website, www.ncrm.ac.uk.